Music means it is time once again for Stroman on Sports here on 97.9 The Hill. I am joined every Friday by Dr. Deborah Stroman. Always look forward to talking about sports, the business of sports, and how it intersects with society. She's the host of If You Only Knew right here on 97.9 The Hill, but she is a sports businesswoman, a former coach, former player. And what a happy Friday is, Deb. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm excited for the beautiful fall weather. Again, not counting out that we might have 95 degrees next month. But this is what, you know, fall football is about, outdoor activities, the nice, warm, and then cool evening. So I'm happy about the weekend. I'm happy about the weather.
I completely agree. And I know that you are very much looking forward to the Virginia and Maryland game that is happening tonight. It's kind of an odd week three slate of games. Not a whole lot of rivalry games getting into play yet, but you can maybe shovel Maryland and Virginia into there. One that has gotten a significant amount of heat, I think it's fair to say, in the last couple of hours is Colorado and Colorado State, partially because, you know, Deion Sanders, now the head coach over at Colorado, they are 2-0. They've gotten a ton of attention around the college football and just the sports world in general because of, you know, Deion bringing his personality there, finding that early success, but also because this rivalry now getting some attention because Colorado State's coach made some comments about how Deion is presenting himself during press conferences and stuff like that, and seemed to add some more bulletin board material there for the Colorado Buffaloes, who have yet another home game this weekend. So I want to start with Colorado's success so far, Deb, because sure, they're 2-0. They haven't played the toughest opponents. They haven't won the prettiest of games, but they doubled their win total from last year and did it with a roster that is completely reshaped under Coach Sanders, and they're being featured on College Game Day this week, and there's all this attention around the Colorado program. So my question for you is, how big is this success already for a D1 Power 5 program? One that was very much in the dumpster, but still a program that does have some historical success and that is, you know, among the big boys. How much of a success is this so far?
It is a big success, and I wouldn't be surprised that this becomes a case study for business. There is no doubt that Deion Sanders is a champion. He's a winner. And then I will add, using his language, that he likes to dominate. He wins at every level. And so I will probably be writing on this or convening a webinar on it. I haven't seen anything like this in my short years on this earth. But I'm thinking about four areas of impact. The first is university and Boulder, Colorado economic impact. I have a former teammate who's actually living in Colorado, and she said the buzz is real. The tickets, you know, $50 for a football game, now $100, now $500 a game. And when they play Southern Cal, they're talking about tickets over $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 a seat. The second impact is Black culture impact. You've got Black folks talking about Deion like crazy. You know, is he flashy? Is he flamboyant? Absolutely. But there is no doubt that he has Blacks thinking about, is he good for our young men? Should we send our young men to his school? Should we endorse him? All of that. Number three, university branding. Colorado is now considered a school to go to, whether you're white, brown, or Black, whether you're students, whether you're faculty, because we know that Colorado is a flagship university for the state, but now it gets to the next level. In fact, it had me up there looking at university rankings. Even though I know I'm not, you know, into university rankings, I still took the time to check out Boulder in terms of its academics. And then lastly, and this is the world we live in, college sports media business impact. As you mentioned, College Game Day is there. First Take is there, as in these are very prominent, popular football shows, you know, sports shows. 60 Minutes is there this weekend, right? So, you know, the money is just going to increase. I'm sure there are so many people right now and saying, please, can we play Colorado next year? Can you fit us in 2 years from now? So the Deion Sanders effect is real.
And you have to think that they also made the move from the Pac-12 to the Big 12, which will go into effect next year, kind of with the idea in mind that, okay, we haven't even played a game with Deion Sanders as our head coach yet, but we know, good or bad, there's going to be more attention around us. We're going to want to make the jump to be in a bigger conference. It's spectacular. Again, we're just two games into this, which is it's an amazing amount of hype and a pretty amazing story, no doubt. Do you think that there's any sort of ceiling for this, Deb? I mean, we know that realistically, Colorado will lose at some point. We don't know necessarily when that will be. But, I mean, Deion has already kind of cemented himself as the second most famous coach in the sport behind Nick Saban. And, I mean, that was already maybe even the case in the offseason before he had coached a game here. I don't know. Do you see any sort of ceiling for this attention around the program until Deion decides to maybe leave, or, you know, what he spins off from here? But what do you think the ceiling could be, if there is anyone?
Well, we know most college teams don't go undefeated. Now, what he can do is run the table on every game until the national championship, right? And then he'll get to play another, you know, powerhouse. And I'm not saying Southern Cal isn't a powerhouse, but that's really the big game that's circled on the schedule this year. Next year, the pressure will be on because he did so well this year. But remember, he's got 4- and 5-star talent that want to play for him. I listened to an interview. He said he's getting so many requests from parents, from high school coaches saying, my son wants to play for your program. He's developing, you know, 2-3 deep level. And that's what you need to win a national championship. So sky's the limit in the sense, yes, you can win. You can be at the top of the mountain. If he continues at the same pace, there is no doubt I would say that his team will be in the national championship next year and the following year because he just has so much talent coming there. He's got guys, young men that came out of the portal from top Division I programs, and they haven't even hit the field yet. So he is loaded, and he's got NFL coaches coaching these young men. I know Nick Saban. I mean, he got into a tizzy over Texas A&M coach. He's in a tizzy over Georgia. So I know he's in a tizzy over Colorado because some of these players are going to say, you know what, Alabama's great, but I want to go to Colorado. Now, to defend everybody else in this circle who's basically a top 20 team and has a chance for a championship or to be in a big bowl, Colorado can only take X number of players, as in what, 85 for scholarship? So even if you want to play for Colorado, there's a good chance that, you know, you don't want to battle for second string. There's going to be a lot of good players that will still go to these other good schools, hopefully UNC. So not everybody can play for Colorado. So you're going to have a chance, but Colorado is going to be in the running.
Yeah, and as you said, he's already done such a great job this year. A lot of people will go, well, we're only two games into the season. Again, Colorado had one win all of last year had been absolutely putrid the years before as well. So it's been a long time since they've had any sort of success. And with the buzz around the program, it's definitely fair to chalk it up as already a success. I do think it'll be interesting to see what Coach Prime's reaction when they lose is, because he hasn't done a whole lot of losing as a coach yet. But, hey, he's got to get to that point first before we can actually see what his reaction to that
is. He's got an answer for losing. I mean, he lost to Florida State. He lost to Dallas. He's going to challenge the young men. You know, at that age, when you're 17 to, 22 years old, I find that the biggest thing a coach can do for you is give you confidence. And Deion Sanders is an excellent motivator. He knows how to make young people feel like they can tackle the world. And that's what you need out of young athletes. And yes, you know, you do need some, you need skill, but he can bring out the best in these young men. And that's what we're seeing. He's a motivator. And similar to Coach Mack Brown, right? They just know how to motivate and get these young men to believe that I can do this.
Absolutely. Now, I also want to spin off of here, as we have been seeing in the first few games of the college football and the pro football season here, we continue to see a trend that has become more common in the last couple of years, which is the use and the value of running backs. I think we might have to save the value of running backs for a different day and how they're being treated at the pro level, Deb, but What when people are saying, hey, you know, I'm hearing about people talking about running backs differently or using running backs differently in the sport. There's no doubt that they are. What are some of the trends that you're noticing along those lines and what interests you the most?
I've been paying attention to this. There's a lot of noise in pro sports about how running back used to be the most valuable position in the NFL, whether it was how many touches or by your contract. And in fact, it was in 1989, the Cowboys received 9 picks, including 3 first round selections for Herschel Walker when he left the Vikings. Fast forward to last year when our very own Christian McCaffrey left the Panthers. They got a second, third, fourth, and fifth round pick for this running back. And he's doing a great job for the 49ers, but the time has changed. We now see that the running back position is just as invalued as much. There's a few reasons, everything from mobile quarterbacks. The statistics say that having a highly paid running back and winning, there's little correlation, as in there's different ways to win. And then people know that the running back position, you're getting beat up, and so you don't have a very long career span. So the running quarterbacks are getting more touches. They're making a difference. And then we see that oftentimes in college sports, it mirrors what's going on in the pros. And so I was thinking about what's going on in college sports, and I think about our Tar Heels, where we've got Omarion Hampton, and we've got British Brooks. They're number 6. Omarion is number 6 in running with college running backs, and British Brooks is not even on the chart. But what do we have? We have Drake May. And he's averaging, 5.5 yards per carry. And so this idea of the mobile running quarterback is changing how we're watching football today. So that's one of the things that I'm paying attention to.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw it too with the Tar Heels' previous quarterback. Sam Howell ran the ball a lot, especially in his junior year when it was, okay, our offensive line maybe isn't going to give him enough time to fire off a pass really deep downfield. So let's shorten our offense. Let's get him running a lot. You know, there was some success there. I think it's fair to say there was more in his sophomore season, but it is absolutely a trend, whether we're seeing it, as you said, at the pro level, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and now Anthony Richardson. You could all go all the way back to Cam Newton. He might have been one of the first in the modern era to probably do it. You're seeing that trickle down at the college level, and, you know, there. I think it's people saying, Deb, partially, well, the quarterback is, we know, the most valuable position to have out there, so let's continue to let them have the ball in their hands and build everything around them. It's certainly an interesting strategy.
But it's scary because now we're talking about injuries. Mm-hmm. So what type of quarterback do you want? Do you want one? Obviously, they all need really good arms, you know, Division I and, of course, pros. But do you want that slender, you know, 6'3", 6'4", guy that just turns it on when he feels the pressure of the pocket collapsing? Or do you want that big, strong build, you know, the muscular, you know, 220 type quarterback to knock over cornerbacks and hopefully decrease the probability of getting injured. So it's different for coaches now in terms of recruiting what type of quarterback makes sense. I think the shorter quarterback, you know, the 5'10 guy, you're not going to be able to see over these offensive lines. So that limits your calling, your play calling. So the game is changing, which is fun for the fan. But the idea of the big, strong running back that's just going to get, you know, 130 yards per game, those days are over. And it puts more premium on the receiving core. And again, Carolina was there a little early with this, you know, with Fedora. Remember having, you know, like 8 wide receivers on the team and basically 6 or 7 of them are playing. It's been fascinating watching the changes.
Yeah, talking a little bit more about the impacts on the positions and then the players who are in those specific positions, we'd love to pick that up on a later Stroman on Sports, but we've got to get you into the weekend. Thank you, as always, for joining us, Deb, and hope you have a great Friday full of some Virginia football.
Excellent. Go Heels. Let's get another W.